Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, we had no rain overnight, but one reigning champ is gone and the other had to stage a massive comeback. Welcome to TC Live, where we lead you up to first ball every day at the BNP Paribas Open. Tennis Paradise is showing off today, and we've got a jam-packed show over the next hour. Coming up, these former Indian Wells champions make their 2024 debuts today. Which one could be prime for an upset? Plus, why the women's defending champ took herself out of the tournament, while the men's returning champion had a speed bump early, but Carlitos found his way. After claiming her second straight upset, could this be the breakout event Katie Vallinets has been hoping for? A new American star born in the desert. And we've got a true Hollywood story, how this young player is living out her dream thanks to a special foundation created by a familiar face. You don't want to miss it. Let's take a look at our featured matches on this first Saturday in Tennis Paradise. Coco Gauff playing first up on Stadium 1. Then we've got the number one ranked American man, Taylor Fritz. How about the number one man in the world, five-time champ Novak Djokovic? Peyton Stearns taking on Aryna Sabalenka. And then Daniil Medvedev made the final last year. Starts off against Roberto Carbajas Baena. And we've got players out on the practice courts getting ready to go. It was 2 years ago that Taylor Fritz was California dreaming. There's his coach, Mike Russell, in the foreground. Fritzy, the number one ranked American man. Now he's a boss man in outfit as well as in game. And Coco Gauff, the number one ranked American woman at 3 in the world, can become the first teenager to get to 50 WTA 1000 level wins. And she'll turn 20 next Wednesday. Would love to celebrate here in the desert. We're celebrating on a weekend. As always, you can find us right there inside the windows, inside Stadium 1. And we are going big on this weekend. Four wide with you, Steve Weissman, the Hall of Famer Lindsay Davenport, the recently retired American superstar John Isner, and our worldwide correspondent Prakash Amitraj. Great to have everybody here today.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, nice to see you, John.
It is great to be here. It's always a treat for me, so thank you guys.
I'm a little geeked out because, you know, John's been my boy for a long time. I'm so excited that he's on the desk. And, John, you've been killing it in the booth. We've loved listening to you. And, you know, I know you and Habes have been talking about, you know, some times from the past, you and the big men over in Memphis a few years ago. But I got to say, you know, you take a look at you guys on the court.
There it is.
You know, there you go. There's a great picture of you guys.
It's the all-bot picture.
The all-bot picture, but you're definitely making a case for most handsome in the suit right now.
Yeah.
You know, what do you say?
I'm not used to being in a suit like this. I prefer being in clothes like that, just as most tennis players do, but it's a change of pace for me. I like it. I have to, you know, show off next to all you dapper
ladies
and gentlemen.
I mean, you've got the desert tones going on
totally.
Today. You fit right in. You're the camouflage.
That was not on purpose. My lovely wife packed for me, and, you know, this is what she chose, and I said, I'm just going to wear it today.
I will say that you got to look at that picture there. Riley has come a long way. He's a big fashionista now.
Oh, no,
so,
he is.
You know, from that young picture, Riley looks a little green there. Now he's just, you know, he's decked out.
Now we want to see Riley back here.
100%.
We need 100%. We need to see Riley back on the course, but he wears stuff that I would never, ever wear. But he pulls it off. He's confident. As long as you're confident, gosh.
He knows all the stuff.
You got to with Riley. That guy's like walking down the runway.
Okay. Okay. The upper echelon, with the art,
little left
the fashion,
out.
Everything.
Lindsay, you look great.
Oh, thank you. I just mean fashion in general. Let's talk tennis.
Okay, let's do that. Let's start with Carlos Alcaraz. It was a big year for him last year here in the desert. The returning men's champ didn't lose a set in his run to the title last year. Took out Daniil Medvedev in the final. That win got the Spaniard back to number one in the world and started a big run of trophies. Alcaraz starting his quest for a first title this year. Not an easy opponent, Prakash, in the young Italian Matteo Arnaldi.
No, Arnaldi got off to a great start. Right from that first Alcaraz service game, Arnaldi was cracking returns, staying up on the baseline. He knew he had to stay aggressive, and he kept that level up all the way through. Found aggression and execution in that breaker. But after that, the bubble burst a little bit. Carlos, he turned on the switch, started snapping forehands. He was moving, started finding his game. What I love to see, no sign of any kind of ankle injury. Even afterward, he talked about, I was surprised by how good I felt. And I think we started to see that more and more throughout the match. Cleaned up that second set with a nice little bagel, 6-love. Moved into the third set, kept the momentum right up, mixing up a little serve and volley, a little carvery on the backhand side there. Got off to an early break. Held on, kept putting the pressure on all the way through, and he just finds so much creativity. Look at that backhand angle, cross court, mixing up with the little wheels and a little, what was that, a little lob wedge there, John? Just kind of carved under it a little bit.
It was nice. A lob wedge, something that I could only dream of doing. Sliding into the court, hitting a drop shot winner off of a drop shot.
Look clean all the way through, firing on both sides.
Ankle looks good. 23 unforced errors in the opening set. Fewer than that in the second and third combined. Alcaraz moving on. He beat Jannik Sinner in the semifinals last year, but now Sinner is a major champion. He is undefeated this year, John, and it would stay that way against Tanasi Kokkinakis.
It certainly would. This is a match I was on the call for yesterday. Kokkinakis actually came out playing very, very well. He had a break point early in that first set on a second serve, did not take advantage of it. And that was really all she wrote, because Sinner got a hold of this match, and once he started getting some momentum, it was all over. He has not lost this year. He's certainly in his zone. He's, as any player will tell you, when you're confident and you're winning a lot of matches, you're not really thinking about that out there on the court, and that's exactly what he's doing. He's just C-ball, hit ball, absolutely cracking every ball he possibly can. And the second set was one-way traffic. It was a bagel. It was another bakery there on center court. So, looking too good. He finished off the first set at net, finishes off the match at net. We know he's been working on that.
He does it all well. Won the final 9 games of the match, dropped just 5 points in that second set. Winner, winner, Sinner dinner. Joined us at the desk after. Seems like winning is just a constant for you right now. 13-0 this year. You've won your last 16. As you think about this match specifically, what did you like most?
No, for sure. Going again on the court and competing, that's what I love to do. Having a great connection with the fans, and obviously for me it means a lot to be back here. It's an amazing place, and hopefully I can show some good tennis.
When you look at the live rankings, Lindsay, Jannik Sinner actually has passed Carlos Alcaraz now because he's defending the points from here last year. It's a battle to watch throughout this event as it goes on. Maybe they'll play against each other again, met in the semifinals last year, but I mean, Sinner is tough to beat right now.
It is. He's made really the toughest jump there is to make in tennis. There's so much talk when players are coming up, these players, they're going to be number one in the world. But those expectations, that kind of pressure, a lot of times the players cannot make that jump from about 7 to 15 in the rankings to get to the very top to become a Grand Slam champion. Something special happened for Sinner last fall. He was willing to put in the work. He was willing to make the sacrifices, got a great team behind him. And so once he's got over that hump, he was able to beat Novak in the fall a couple of times. That carried him through to his first Grand Slam title in Melbourne. And now he's only getting better. Now he sees what he can accomplish. He knows that he is really, the sky is the limit for him. More Grand Slams is the goal. He has figured out how to manage himself at majors. He's managed to figure out how to handle the pressure at tournaments where he's the favorite. That's now a scary proposition for everybody else out on tour.
Yeah, and we talked to him, Prakash, and the fact that not only is he so hungry, but a humble champion as well.
Well, I think that's going to stand him in really good stead moving forward. He's so process-oriented right now, and what I've loved to see over the last 12 months is how many improvements he's made in his game. I mean, Carlos is really the first one who all of a sudden started throwing in those drop shots. All of a sudden, Sinner's using it masterfully. He's getting more comfortable at the net, made a couple of adjustments on the serve. He really doesn't seem like he's caught up with his achievements, and the fact that he's only looking to improve, I think, bodes so well for his future.
What has impressed you the most about what you've seen over the last 4 or 5 months with Jannik Sinner, John?
Well, he's certainly wise beyond his years. And he said on the court after his match yesterday, he's still trying to improve. And he's arguably the best player in the game right now. I mean, he's playing the best. He's undefeated. Yeah. And he's still trying to improve things. That's what all the greats do. You hear Novak Djokovic say that. Federer, Nadal, they're number one in the world by a wide margin, but they're still trying to improve because they know that they have to because there's people nipping at their heels.
Yeah, arguably the best player in the world right now. And a scary thought that Jannik Sinner can get even better. How about Andy Murray? He had a nice win in the first round, one of his best that we've seen in a while. Kept that strong play going in the first set. against the 5-seed Andre Rublev, Prakash.
Really promising stuff to see how aggressive Andy was playing in that first set. Earned himself triple set point here on Rublev's serve, but Rublev came up with the goods, a huge first forehand there. Having the wherewithal to attack the net, an area where Rublev has improved his comfortability level, and then a massive serve. Saved those three. Had to face another one, saved it with another big serve. But when it got into a breaker, Rublev just stepped up a little bit with the aggression. And he sat here on our desk and said, right after that first set, there was a little bit of a difference. My level went up a little bit, Andy's dropped a little bit. And that was sort of the difference in that second set there. But he did say Andy was playing such tough tennis. It was tough to stretch and create a lead in that first set. Promising stuff for Andy, unfortunate, but the better man won today.
It ran out of gas there in the end, but Andre Rublev takes care of business, and it would have been really, really tough if I had lost that first set. In reality, he wins it, and he moves on. On the women's side, Katie Bolinets pulled off a huge win against Mira Andreeva in the first round, told us her motivation, Lindsay, was now or never. And it was now against Ons Jabeur yesterday.
Yeah, what a moment it was for the Californian to take on Ons Jabeur on such a big court out on Stadium 2. A little overwhelmed in the beginning, and Jabeur started the match playing so well. Bolinets settled down, and she was able to really spread the court. We know Jabeur has been struggling with a knee injury. She has not been moving that well. Watched her in practice the other day, and it was very limited. Bolinets took note of that and, again, was forcing Jabeur around the court. It's one thing to know what you have to do as a youngster. It's another thing to go out and execute it, and it's exactly what Bolinets was able to do. It's a huge win for her. Her ranking now is going to go sky high. She's been a prodigy for many years. In fact, 2019... Girls 18's national final. Bolinets defeated Navarro. Look at both of them now. Love to see the success in the American tennis coming.
That's awesome to hear. Biggest win of her life, making the most of that wild card. She's a NorCal girl playing hella good tennis here in Southern California against Caroline Wozniacki next. Then we had the former champion, Iga Swiatek, world number one, facing Danielle Collins. They've played some tight matches in the past. It was close until it wasn't.
Yeah, it's similar to the center match where it was midway through the first set. Collins had a couple of break points in this game to get up 4-3. Iga was able to settle down, get a hold of serve, and then she was off and running. Started to play great tennis. We knew this court would favor Swiatek. It's much slower. Collins able to hit through a faster court better and really challenge Swiatek. But on this court, this is a perfect speed for Swiatek on a hard court. But can we get Danielle Collins a better draw? She's had some brutal draws this season. Played Swiatek also very early at the Australian Open. She's played some good tennis this year, Collins, but ran into Swiatek playing one of her best matches this year.
The bakery is back open. In fact, it really never closes. She wins more than 10% of her sets at this 1,000 level by bagels. It's incredible. Nobody's ever done that. Iga Swiatek, 2022 champ, moving on to the next round. We got a chance to chat with her, Prakash, after the match. What did you learn from Iga Swiatek?
Well, she seems in such a great mind space right now. I mean, look, it's in a way tough what's happened over the last 3 years. You're adjusting to that altitude. When she went on that huge tear of, what, 30, 40 matches in a row, everyone's talking about, when's that loss going to come? You're not used to this kind of level. And now I think she's just settled into it so great. And now she's find a better working process day to day. You know, she seems in a great mood. She's smiling all the time. She's focused on her off-court activities in a way that it takes pressure off her on-court. And the way she's executing is beautiful. It's tough to really think someone else is going to be that favorite to grab that 38-pound trophy one more time. Again.
It's so heavy.
It's a heavy lift, but she has proven that she can take care of it, John. These conditions seem to really suit her well. What do you make of the fact that she's been able to do this year after year and stay at the top of the game?
She's absolutely locked in. I mean, you said she's won 10% of her sets, 6-0. I've never won 10 sets in my whole entire life, 6-0. And that's going back to junior tennis in the state of North Carolina, which really wasn't that tough. So
you've been to the bakery, though.
I have.
I know you've been to the bakery.
Yeah, a few times. But it's incredibly impressive. She's number one in the world for a reason.
Yeah, it's one of these players that she is all in. There's not 1 minute of her day that is not about, okay, how do we get you to play your best? What do we need to do to improve her team all the way behind her? And right now in tennis, that's what you have to do. If you want to be a dominant player at the top of the game, you have got to be willing to make the sacrifices. Iga's making them on a daily basis.
She is, and she wants to stay at the top. We've got a lot more to get to here on TC Live. Four of us coming back after a quick break. Do not go anywhere. We've got our FanDuel match preview, plus fresh off a title in Mexico, Alex de Minaur looking for similar success in the United States. And a little later, we will introduce you to Hanna Dessy, who's chasing her tennis dream thanks to the foundation of Hollywood superstar Boris Kodjo. You're watching TC Live on day four at the BNP Paribas Open.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at newbalance.com.
LD, John, Prakash, and Steve back on TC Live at Indian Wells. You can set up multiple screens to watch this event. We've got you covered on Bally Sports and T2. Leif Schauers and Paul Anacone going to call Holger Rune and Milos Raonic, followed by Jesse Pegula and Anna Blinkova. Two fantastic matchups. Following those matches on T2, we've got the Second Serve crew bringing you at least three more hours of tennis matches and conversation. Gotta love that. What's it going to look like in Tennis Paradise this Saturday? It is now time for today's forecast with Fox Weather.
Hey there, tennis fans. I'm Fox Weather's Craig Herrera. Here is today's BNP Paribas Open tennis forecast. Partly cloudy today in Indian Wells, California. Look at that, near 80 degrees. Enjoy it. Remember, you can download the Fox Weather app or stream Fox Weather from your favorite connected TV device.
Thanks so much, Craig. Caroline Wozniacki finding her level real quick. How the former champ made her way to the first weekend in Tennis Paradise. Welcome back. Tennis.com is the best place to keep up with the action from Indian Wells and all year round. Check it out to follow men's and women's tournament draws, as well as breaking news, live scores, stats, and results. Download the tennis app or visit tennis.com today. And every single day, Leah Davidoff has your three to see, previewing the best matches of the day. She's looking at Gael Monfils and Hubi Hurkacz, the All-American battle of Tommy Paul and Alex Mickelson, and then Emma Raducanu facing Diana Yastremska. Three big matchups there. See her picks to win those. Back to the action from yesterday. Seven moms started the tournament. They were undefeated heading into the second round. Angie Kerber looking for the biggest win of her season, Linz, against Yelena Ostapenko.
Yeah, this is the women's comeback section, and led by Kerber, who had a couple of set points late in the first set against Ostapenko. And Ostapenko, able to go on one of those runs, ended up winning six games in a row to close out the first set. Got up 2-love in the second. You thought, okay, Ostapenko has all the momentum, but that is right when Kerber started to lock it in, started to spread the court, use her angles, started to make it a running match for Ostapenko. And Ostapenko started to get a little tired out on Stadium 2. A few more errors started to come in her game. Kerber played the best match she's played this season. She was fired up. She was fit. She was ready to go. Her lefty forehand giving Ostapenko all sorts of fits. And Ostapenko, the error started to flow because the footwork started to leave. Kerber got an absolutely huge win.
That's special to see. First top 10 win for her since 2021. First time she's won two straight since coming back from maternity leave. You can see how much it means to Angie Kerber. And then Caroline Wozniacki also finding her best form in the desert. Thought she may have had some arm, wrist issues coming in. Fought through it against Donna Bekic.
Yeah, one of our favorite people playing right now, Caroline. And she knows she's not 100%. And Steve, she just fought in this match. She was able to be consistent. Again, get a lot of unforced errors from Bekic. This was Bekic's match to win, and she faltered a bit out here. Wozniacki, it's been a little bit more of a struggle than she anticipated it would be coming back from having, by the way, two kids. Yeah. But this has been a big tournament for her, a lot of enjoyment for her. She is absolutely thrilled to be into the third round.
Still undefeated, perfect in sets against Donna Bekic. The former world number one, 2011 Indian Wells champ, is into round three. And Mamma Mia, the mothers are not messing around here, Linz. Take a look at this. Unfortunately, Taylor Townsend going out yesterday and Tatiana Maria, but we've still got five moms alive.
Yeah, they're doing awesome, but gosh, that one hurt last night. Taylor Townsend going down in three sets to Kalinskaya. Osaka's got a tough one today against Samsonova. Let's see how that goes. Svitolina, though, she's also just been doing amazing since returning to tour just about 11 months ago.
Yeah, she's got a tough one against Siniakova. Love that music, though, right, Prakash?
just cracking up the whole time.
John is used to that music.
I am. I have that on repeat at my house right now.
Just over and over and over again. For John, for you to see all those moms out there, some coming back,
and some that, you know, that we haven't seen in a while. Pretty cool.
It's very, very cool. It's very impressive to see. Of course, it's a lot harder for the moms. You know, when you become a parent, you're bearing the brunt of all of that. And to be able to come back from that, what they go through is incredibly impressive. It's very, very hard to see them come back and play at a high level like this. It's awesome to see.
Who of those do you think has the chance, Lindsay, to go the furthest here?
Oh, caught me off guard there. I think Osaka, if she's able to get her game with her firepower, she's won here before. She looked very good in her first round match against Irani. But all of that, by the way, on that list, there's also two ladies who've had two children, Tatiana Maria as well. Just an incredible environment right now the WTA has created for women tennis players to be able to still come back and compete if they so choose to have a baby.
All right, well, from moms, we go to power couples, right? Alex Diminor, boyfriend of the year. You got that out of him yesterday, Prakash. He cares more about his ranking on the boyfriend level than he does the rankings on the ATP Tour.
Well, I tell you what, he's moving up fast in both with that trip from Acapulco to San Diego. But what a clean performance here from Alex. You know, he's so good on those not great days, but just kind of using his feet and his grit to be able to get through matches. But days like this, when he's got everything firing and that added element, which I think he's added in the last sort of 12, 18 months, where he's just being a lot more offensive-minded, winning more short points. When you complement that with these kind of wheels, then he just becomes a problem all over the court. And he's starting to get a few more free points on his first serve, and I think he's really settling into his game really well. Took that first set 6-1. Second set, you see here, using the drop shot at the perfect time, Taro Daniel expecting a big ball on the back foot. And then after that, again, just cruising, getting a break here. Attacking early on that second serve.
In four matches against Taro Daniel, he has never dropped more than two games in a set. The Demon doing well. Katie Bolter, unfortunately, is out of the tournament, but she'll be here supporting Alex Diminor. Then Stefano Tsitsipas. He practiced with Daniil Medvedev this week, John. Played soccer with Novak Djokovic. Now taking on Luka Puig.
Did I see some photo of Novak pushing around in a grocery cart
or
something?
Yes, I saw that as well.
Yeah, so he's got a lot of good mojo around as well.
Amazing.
But back to the tennis match at hand. He finds himself outside the top 10, which is a spot he's really not accustomed to the last couple of years. And he certainly seems like he's playing, at least for this match, back at a top 10 level. It's good to see Luka Puig back. We haven't seen him on the ATP Tour too much in the last few years, but Stefanos played very, very well this match. Of course, his big weapon is his forehand, and he used that to his advantage. And he has a massive match coming up against Francis Tiafoe in the third round.
He certainly does. We'll talk about that later in the show. He served well as well. Told us after the match, I played great. That's what he said, Prakash. He was like, listen, I only dropped 2 points on my first serve. Seems to be feeling good. As John said, he's getting pushed around a cart by the goat.
Oh, well, listen, whenever you're doing that, that means you're having a good time. And then, look, if you can stay in good spirits, it's always going to translate well to on court. But as far as body language here with us, I thought he was in a really good spot. I mean, he's won a few matches coming into here, semifinals and a quarterfinals in Mexico, and he's on an upward trajectory. Mm-hmm. Australia would have been tough for him, not defending those points from the finals last year. But, you know, he's just got to stay in the moment. You know, you get too stuck in the rankings, the fact that you've dropped, you're going to get out of that process-based mindset. And we all know how good of a player he is. I mean, he was very close in two Grand Slam finals. So he's just kind of got to hang in there and focus on his strengths. Big first serve, big forehand.
What do we think of the surface here for Tsitsipas and Tiafoe? Who does that favor? Slower hard court?
Wow, I mean, Francis did very well last year. I don't know if it favors anyone. It might be a conditions thing to whether they play during the day or at night. I would imagine both players like to play on a little bit faster court. We'll see if they play during the day or night, but it should be a very, very good one.
On a general basis, I like a faster court for Francis because it kind of forces him to, you know, bum rush like he does on the second serve a few times and makes things a little bit simpler for him. Steph, I think he does like a bit of a slower court. You know, like we've seen on clay, he likes that time. He doesn't step into that backhand. He likes that time to take that big roundhouse swing on both sides. So I think a little bit of a difference there.
Steph gets more time on the backhand. Francis gets more time on the forehand.
Yep.
Could cancel each other out. Looking forward to that match.
There it is.
Outstanding.
It's outside of Ralph's supermarket. I mean, this is what makes this tournament pretty cool. You go shopping, and next thing you know, you have Novak and Stefanos in the milk aisle. It's pretty neat.
What, we have Novak and Rafa on a plane.
Yeah, that's
together.
Right. Yeah.
Now we've got Novak and Stefanos grocery shopping together.
Look at both their faces. It's absolutely. This could very well be the sequel for Step Brothers.
I would love this.
Could totally be the sequel for Step Brothers.
And then out on the field, we saw Djokovic playing with Stefanos Tsitsipas. How about those moves?
Yeah, I like the celebration. Have you seen this?
See ya. Yeah, it's the Cristiano Ronaldo.
Take your word for that, Steve.
You will not see any Americans out there.
No. First thing I thought of was like, oh my gosh, they're gonna get hurt.
Well, you'll see Ben Shelton throwing a football.
Well, there you go. One-handed catch.
That's different.
The OBJ
opposite hand too on the right hand.
The University of Florida could actually probably use him at the quarterback position.
Here we go again. Caught that lefty. Still impressive.
We all know he's got an arm on him.
Yeah. Got a guy. By the way, no shoes, no socks. Just going barefoot out there on the grass.
Oh, he's copying the number one player in the world, Novak. That's what he does all the time out there.
And all the players that have come here, I mean, actually, Steph was the first one to say it. He's like, this is one of their favorite things about this tournament, that whole big grass area. It's out in the sun. Yeah. You get to exercise, play with everyone else. Creates a great vibe out there.
But for some reason, John, they won't even let you in there now. What's going on?
I walked by the grass the other day. I wanted to say hey to Ethan Quinn, Georgia Bulldog, yeah. Just like myself. I kind of stepped a few feet on the grass, and I got told to step back. And I was like, dude, I'm not even going to fight it. It's all good. And I just went on my merry way.
Erroneous.
Yeah.
Erroneous on all counts.
Your face is your credential. You don't. Come on.
It's all good.
Don't you know who he is? No, you know, the man
out there. You know what happened? If he was in his tennis clothes, they would have reckoned that they must have thought he was some male model or something.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
they're like, fair. You know, he's not a player. He can't get on here.
World's tallest male model. I don't think I have a future there.
This suit game's got everybody, you know, everybody confused, John. A lot more to get to here on TC Live. We are leading you up to first ball here in the Desert Coco Golf over on Stadium 1. But when we come back, we've got the remarkable story of college freshman Hannah Desi, who is being able to live out her dream thanks to a Hollywood star. Don't go anywhere.
Hi, I'm Boris Kodjo. My wife, Nicole Ari Parker, and I founded the Kodjo Family Foundation to support health and wellness initiatives in diverse communities. As a former top junior tennis player, I know how hard it is for young Black student athletes to gain access to quality tennis instruction and programs. That's why we established the Love All Scholarship, to open a world of opportunities for Black youth through tennis. Hannah Desi, a multi-talented scholar, artist, athlete from Los Angeles, was awarded our first Love All Scholarship. She spent her senior year in the south of France at the world-famous Mouratoglou Academy, founded by tennis coaching legend Patrick Mouratoglou.
Perfect!
There, Hannah maximized her opportunity. Her hard work led to her acceptance at Howard University, the storied institution that's produced some of the nation's greatest leaders, where she's also joining their Division I tennis team. With support from Common Cause brands and organizations, we are able to provide students with high school tuition, high performance coaching in tennis and in life, room and board, training, tournament fees, travel, and incidentals. The Love All Scholarship provides diverse youth with a true passport to excellence. While some may go on to collegiate or professional tennis careers, we know that we are opening doors to their development and achievement in life. We're setting them up to build confidence and skill to thrive in an increasingly global and diverse world. At the Kodjo Family Foundation, we believe that every child deserves an opportunity to discover and develop their talents. So join us. Thank you.
Hannah and Boris going to join us in studio following Coco Gauff's match later today. So look forward to meeting Hannah and seeing Boris. Boris is awesome. Still plays a whole lot of tennis, loves the sport, giving back to the sport. And for every tennis player, there's somebody that has to help you along the way, guide you, inspire you, something like that. John, who was it for you?
For me, that's an easy answer. It was my mother. She was the one that schlepped me all around the southern section ever since I was 8 years old. Putting me in our van and driving me to Arkansas, driving me to Louisiana to play junior tennis tournaments. And then when I was in college, she had a battle with cancer. She overcame that. And so she's very, very inspiring to me. There's no doubt.
I have a hunch I know your answer, Prakash, but go for it.
Well, there's the easy answer, of course. I mean, everyone knows, you know, Dad's really been my hero, my best friend, and sort of, you know, everything it is for me to be a man. So I've looked up to him my whole life on and off the court. But someone who made a big difference, there were a lot of people along the way, but someone who was behind the scenes in the tennis world was Ken Matsuda, who was a trainer, and you know, he worked with Michael Chang, Jim Courier, Greg Rosetsky, worked with a lot of great track athletes as well. And you know, all the time I spent with him just kind of reminded me of my grandparents and my roots. So he was a huge influence as well.
That's beautiful, Lindsay.
Yeah, you know, you see every player and you hear these stories, and sometimes it's a clinic, it's a coach, it's a foundation, JTCC. You have amazing stories like Francis and how they've helped him get there. You know, for me, I was always a good junior player. And at 13 or 14, this awkward female, I was like 6'2". I knew I was winning junior matches, didn't really think like, there's no way the pros are in my future. And the head of the USTA at the time for the women's program was a wonderful women's coach named Lynn Raleigh. And I'd never had a female influence really on my tennis. My mom, an amazing influence, but didn't really know tennis, knew junior sports. And all of a sudden I had this wonderful female coach who was really encouraging and inspiring. And it's tough to go from the juniors to the pros at a very young age. I was 15. And all of a sudden I really felt like I had really good influence to help me kind of lead in those really tough years. Mm.
That's really cool to hear about Lynn, to hear about Ken, your mom, John, and also that this is paying forward, right? Yeah. Seeing what Boris is doing, has had such a successful career, Prakash, and sees that he can help others.
Well, what's so beautiful about Boris, great guy, you know, spent so much time with him, and you know, he understands that there are so many greats out there who are just never going to get the opportunity to be great because they don't have the resources, they don't have the chances. Yeah. So, you know, if you can just give a few more chances to a few more people, there are ways where those people can possibly go on and change the world. Yeah. So it is paying it forward in a way that sometimes you don't even realize how big the impact could be on the world.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's countless people that you've influenced that you don't even know. Just by being out there, yep, winning matches and inspiring the next generation. You can see the full-length feature on Hanna Dessy on Tennis Channel's YouTube page. I encourage you to check that out. And guess what? After Coco Gauff's match, Hanna's going to be here with Boris Kodjo on our desk. They'll join us in studio for a visit to expand on Hanna's experience at the Murat Oğlu Academy and Howard University, and Boris talking about how he is helping this next generation with the KodjoFoundation.org/loveall. Back with more after this. Back on TC Live, a reminder, Served with our guy Andy Roddick is the new weekly series on T2. Watch as the Hall of Famer discusses the biggest stories in tennis with John Wertheim and other special guests. And tune in for a new episode every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern, streaming on T2. As always, at this time of the show, we focus on the Americans in action, starting with Ben Shelton, who packed Stadium 2. I mean, everybody there to watch him take on the 18-year-old Jakub Mencik, John. Benny brought the heat.
Yeah, what do they call him? Box office Ben?
Yep.
Love that.
He certainly is. But look, he was up against Jakub Mencik, an 18-year-old, the youngest player in the draw. And, you know, a name that American tennis fans probably don't know about just yet, but they will in the future. But Ben lost the first set, used the crowd to his advantage to get on top of the second set, and he certainly carried that momentum over into the third with a break of serve here coming right up. I think it happened at 2-all here. Watch this slice that somehow finds its way into the court, used the wind to his advantage, got an unforced error out of Mencik, and then rode that one break all the way to the finish line. And that was an awesome match to watch. I was watching on TV, and it must have been an amazing match to be there in the crowd, because he certainly gets them fired up, and he's moving on, which is great for this tournament. It's great for American tennis as well.
I mean, he was like you at the he had a serve at 150, 150-mile-an-hour serve from Ben Shelton. First win in 5 attempts against a player younger than him. He is into the third round here for the first time. Francis Tiafoe made the semifinals last year, P, but needs to make at least the quarters this year to stay in the top 20. Good start here against Dusan Ljajovic.
One of the favorite things I can possibly say about a Francis Tiafoe match: looked very buttoned up out there. Nice short steps on his footwork. Seemed really focused all the way through. Only dropped serve once. Broke 4 times. And attacking nicely from the back of the court, not getting into too many long rallies and getting a little complacent out there, seemed really intentional. 7 aces, very strong on his serve as well, 80% first serve points won. And a little bit of athleticism that Big Fo likes to bring out, getting the crowd involved as well. I think as good a start as you could possibly want from Francis, mentally especially.
Saw him before this match, told me he was locked in. Francis Tiafoe gets it done in straights, and we talked about it earlier. He's got Stefanos Tsitsipas next. What a blockbuster round three matchup. On the women's side, Maddie Keys got moved to Stadium 1 when Elena Rybakina withdrew. Fitting for Keys' debut this season, facing fellow American Haley Baptiste.
Yeah, really the tale of two different tapes for these two players. Haley Baptiste went into this match with already having 20 wins on the season across all levels. This was Madison's first match. Madison able to get the first set despite being down early. Baptiste, so improved, Steve. Loved the way she played this match. She was driving balls. She was slicing balls. She used all her serves. Won that second set. Then had two match points in the 10th game of the third. Madison saves one of them with a shank volley. Can you believe it? Off the frame. Was going for the angle. Managed to get it in the court. It went to a third set breaker. Key started playing better once it got to five all in the third. She started to find her backhand up the line. Couple of nerves hit Baptiste, and it was Madison able to get through this, but a lot of great signs for Haley to move forward with.
Yeah, gonna be tough for her knowing she had those match points, but it's the experience of Madison Keys that comes through in the end. Nice embrace there at the net as Maddie moves on in her first match of 2024. Taylor Townsend came through qualifying, had comeback win in the first round, and looked to do the same thing in this one against Anna Kalinskaya.
Anna Kalinskaya coming off the final of Dubai just a couple of weeks ago, all sorts of momentum, all sorts of confidence, able to get the first set. She was able to hit through these really slow conditions, but it was Taylor who was able to rebound in the second set, Steve. She started to use her variety. She was angling her forehand beautifully. One thing that this court doesn't allow is for Taylor to move forward. So she was fighting this match from the back of the court behind the baseline. And eventually in the third, at the end, just a few too many errors from Townsend. And Kalinskaya continued to go for her shots hard and flat, threw in a couple of shots of with variety. And able to get the win. This was a winnable match for Taylor. Yeah. And just down the stretch, a few too many errors, just didn't have the confidence to pull out the upset.
She'll play Jasmine Paolini in a rematch of the Dubai final less than 2 weeks ago. Taylor still in doubles with Bia Haddad-Maia, so looking forward to that. But we've got some breaking news here on TC Live, and that's the Canadian Milos Raonic having to pull out of the tournament with an injury. What's your reaction to that, John?
Well, it's very disappointing for him, of course. We saw in his first round match, hit this massive wrap on one of his legs. We know all the injuries he's dealt with. This is disappointing to see for him. It's just been such a struggle for his big body to stay healthy. Hopefully he can recover from this quickly and get back onto the court.
Yeah, he was supposed to play Rafa Nadal first round. Yeah. We're so excited about that. Then he gets Sumit Nagal. He wins in straight sets, but unfortunately did something in that match that can't continue. And now Holger Rune gets the walkover, hasn't played a match yet.
Yeah, it really stinks because, look, when you have so many stop and starts like that, it not only affects your body because you can't really get that rhythm to be able to get nice and healthy, it starts affecting you mentally also because you really want to get back out there in the rhythm. I remember chatting with him in Canada last year. He said, you know what, I forgot how to pack my bags here. You know, how many shirts do I need? How many grips do I need? So we really hope he's able to get back there. But Holger Rune definitely in a different spot in his career. I mean, he's coming in. He's looking to put up titles like this. And, you know, a day off for him, it's going to be fine. He's going to adjust to it. I don't think it's going to affect him too badly. But really unfortunate for Milos.
Yeah. Send our best thoughts to Milos Raonic. Sure. Hopefully he heals up soon and we see him back on the court. But let's talk about some of the matches we've got today. There are some good ones. Jessie Pegula taking on Anna Blinkova. This is a rematch from San Diego. Jessie's got some new voices in her ear. She's got a couple new coaches, the Marks, Nolzi, Merklin,
yep.
And then also spent some time with Andy Roddick.
Yep. Jess is really in an interesting situation right now in her career, trying to make that really tough push we talked about earlier on the show is how do I get from about, for her, it's five in the world to one in the world, or how do I get from where I am to becoming a Grand Slam champion, what I want more than anything to achieve. She's willing to turn over every stone. She's working very hard. She was really trying to get a lot of different opinions in her off season was February. She went down under, didn't feel great. Decided to really take February to train and get her game going. Sometimes it takes a few tournaments to feel better as a player when you have new voices, when you're working on new things. She's looking for some big results, so either here or in Miami. She's certainly working hard. She's looked great in practice all week. So it's coming. But hopefully it's here. Beat Blinkova in San Diego, but she knows that's a tough out also.
Speaking of rematches, Tommy Paul, Alex Mickelson, John. You know about both of these guys. They played a three-hour three-set thriller in Delray Beach. Came down to a tiebreak in the third. What does that do for Mickelson's confidence, even though he lost that one coming into this rematch?
Well, it does a lot. I mean, he knows he can play against the top players in the world. Tommy Paul, close to top 10, if certainly top 20 right now. Alex is one of the great young players we have in the game. He maybe is a little bit unheard of right now, but if a win over Tommy Paul could really change that. But this is going to be a tough match for him. Alex is playing incredibly well right now. He almost beat Tommy. He had a tough loss in Los Cabos to the eventual winner, Jordan Thompson, as well. But he played fantastic in his first match against Munar, took care of business, so he's got a lot of momentum. It's going to be a tough one.
Look, he sat here with us on his desk, and as soon as we left, the first thing we talked about was this incredible confidence that he has about him, regardless of who steps on the court. So I think he's going to bring that here. He's going to take a lot away from that previous match. And, I like the way he's feeling his way around the court. He's got that big serve, but he's not really playing outside of his zone. He's finding that little extra to be able to find that aggression when he needs to, which he's going to need to do today. He doesn't want to get pushed around by Tommy. And these are the matches you live for. John, I was just thinking about that match you had with Andy Roddick when you beat him at the U.S. Open. Those are milestone matches, right? When you're able to like take out like one of the top Americans that you've looked up to.
Yeah, so I mean, this is that opportunity for Alex. It's going to be a very, very good match. But Tommy is a tough out.
Yeah.
He lost early in Acapulco. Maybe he's dealing with some physical issues, but it should be a thing of the past right now. Tommy is going to be a very, very tough out.
Listen, Mickelson's a Southern Cowboy.
Yeah.
So this is the tournament he used to come to growing up. He's going to have a lot of support in the stands. Let's see if that makes a difference.
We shall see. He's got friends. He's got family. And as Prakash said, he's got that cool confidence about him as well. It's going to be a tough matchup.
Got that dog in him, too. Got that dog in him.
1 to 5. Where's the dog?
Yeah.
Give him a 3.5.
3.5.
Why go higher?
You go higher?
For a teenager? Come on.
Oh, for a teenager. Okay, yeah. Fine. I was comparing it to, you know, all the
dogs.
Out there. All the dogs out there.
Gosh, you're tough. You know?
Theo Double G's. Still ahead, we've got our FanDuel match preview talking about Gael Monfils and Hubie Hurkacz. Don't go anywhere. We're having fun on TC Live. Welcome back. We've got an update to our lineup on T2 and Bally Sports today. Leaf Shiris, Paul Anacon, got to get some new notes in there because no more Milos Raonic, Holger Rune. It is now the former Indian Wells champ, Cam Norrie, taking on the Italian Lorenzo Sonego. And that will be followed by Jesse Pegula and Anna Blinkova. Time now for our FanDuel match of the day. We are breaking down Gael Monfils and Hubie Hurkacz. 1-1 head-to-head. Both came back in 2019. Prakash, what do you make of these odds?
Well, I think Hubie's definitely the favorite, but a little plus money, why not? I throw a little something on Gael, I think. I mean, he looked pretty clean in that first round, and he said on the desk, Wakanda Forever is back because he is ready. So at the plus money, I'd rumble.
I like that, and I like that verbiage as well. Monfils coming off the most dominant win he's had in 2 years. Johnny only dropped 3 games in that first round, but I mean, listen, Hubie's been up in the top 10, top 15 for a long time now.
Yeah, it's going to be a good match. I mean, Monfils, he certainly doesn't look his age right now. He's moving around as fast as he ever has. Hubie, as we know, has a massive, massive serve. These odds suggest that, look, it's going to be pretty, pretty close. I thought Hubie would have been a bigger favorite. People in Vegas generally are very, very smart. So I wouldn't go against them. But, look, as Prakash said, seems to be some good value on Monfils there.
Yep. Hubie, two-time quarterfinalist here. Either way, highlights. Hubie, we know he loves the tweeners, and Monfils is just a hot shot waiting to happen. Right now, new customers can get $150 in bonus bets. If your $5 bet wins, download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and start making every moment more. It's that time. See what's trending on social media. A little shout out to my fellow Northwestern Wildcat, Katrina Adams, the global winner of the IOC's 2023 Gender Equality, Diversity, and Inclusion Champions Award. Congratulations, Kat.
Yeah, she's amazing. Everything that she's done in this sport. She was a player. When I first came out on tour, just an amazing player as well on tour. It's great to see her here last night as well. She's back here watching, but everything that she does, she was the president of the USTA for 4 years. She continues to fight for justice all over the world. She's really been a remarkable leader in our sport.
She's championed so many people, and she's always all about, you know, forwarding the culture in every single aspect of the court, whether it's players, whether it's in the corporate side of things, whether it's in the Hall of Fame side of things. It's remarkable because it's such a strong intentional part of her purpose.
I love what she had to say. She said, "We've come a long way from where girls were just on the sidelines. It's an inspiration for the next generation, Lindsay, to say, hey, I can be there. I can do that too."
Yeah, and she spent so much time in trying to get that message out and trying to get rackets in girls' hands that otherwise maybe wouldn't have that opportunity. Again, we have Billie Jean King we talk a lot about, but Katrina fights just as hard for equality all over.
Congratulations, Kat.
Yeah.
Big time stuff.
Amazing
the
person.
IOC giving her an award. Tomorrow on TC Live, we look forward to this. Every year, the 2024 Herd Award winners will be announced live, 1:30 p.m. Eastern, right here on TC Live. One male, one female collegiate tennis player getting a $100,000 grant to help their transition to the pros. You see some of the players from the past and where they are now. Peyton Stearns, Mackie McDonald, Danielle Collins, I mean, Chris Eubanks. These players have gone straight from college to the top 100 and beyond. It's special stuff. And that'll be tomorrow right here on TC Live, 1:30 p.m. Eastern. We're leading up to top of the hour. Coco Gauff, just about 5 minutes away from taking the court. Don't go anywhere.
TC Live at the BNP Paribas Open is brought to you in part by FanDuel. Make every moment more.
Back on the grounds here in Tennis Paradise, it is our hot shot of the day. It's Rublev and Murray. Prakash, what do you think we have here?
Well, first of all, we got some serious legs from Andy Murray, tracking balls down all over the court, finding a forehand dipper here, and then John giving him the Stone Cold Stunner.
That's right.
Close things out.
Backhand flick. That's why he still plays. As us three up here on the booth can tell you, when you're done playing, you don't get this adrenaline. The crowd cheering for you when you hit a good shot. It's exactly what he did there. That's what Andy Murray lives for.
One of the best two-handers we've seen of all time. Beautiful flick right at the end.
I thought he was going to go lob there.
Signature
best Murray lob. And no, nope, yeah. I'm going to pass you with a hard angle.
And Prakash, I thought you were going to give him a get him king.
Yeah. Oh, you know, you know what? I'm going to have faith that Andy's going to be back on our desk soon because he's going to be winning.
Yeah.
And then we're going to give it to him. This is where it started.
This is where it started last year. This is where he got crowned. Order of play today. It all starts with Coco Gauff momentarily. We also have the top-ranked American man in action, John. That's Taylor Fritz. He's been holding that mantle, a mantle you held for about a decade. What's the pressure like to stay at the top?
It's enormous pressure, I think, especially now, considering how deep the men's American game is right now. But that's the pressure that I think Taylor's really going to enjoy. He's going to relish that opportunity to try to stay the top dog in our country. But this is a match I'm going to be on the call for. Taylor Fritz at this tournament is a different animal.
Yep. Mm.
He's won this tournament four, and he's had a bunch of other deep runs. So he plays well here. It's going to be a pretty tough match against Tabilo. You see Chile beside his name, and you think dirt baller, not necessarily the case. He's good on clay, and he's very good on hard. He won Auckland this year, so Taylor's going to have his hands full.
Why do you think it is that here, is it because it's home tournament?
Southern Cal. Yeah. I told you. I said that about Mickelson. For all of us that grew up here, this was the Mecca. This is the tournament you would go to watch when you were growing up. Back me up here, Prakash.
Well, 1,000%. I mean, look, any place you come as a fan and you just kind of, you're looking at it in awe as a kid, in a way that never really leaves you because we all got that little kid living inside us. So when you come back, all of a sudden, all eyes are on you and you're one of the contenders for this title, you still got that feeling in you that, man, this is bigger than anything else. So I think that little special feeling, Lynn, that you're talking about, that's a huge factor.
Got the crowd behind you. They really celebrate the Southern Cal. If you grew up here, I guarantee you did well here.
Yeah. Amazing. Novak Djokovic in action today as well. We'll see him for the first time here. Speaking of success here, no one's done it more than him and Roger.
Yeah, and it's been a few years since we've been able to see Novak play here, so everyone very excited to see him back. We love to see all those pictures of him smiling, being back here also. It's only right that he's back competing. We marvel at him and what he's able to accomplish at his age. But really, for me, it's the drive. How do you still have that drive and the willingness to give 23 and a half hours out of every day to trying to be the best? He's already going to go down as the greatest statistically. We all know that. But yet he still wants more. It's inspiring.
5 out of 5 on the dog scale, right?
Yeah.
5 out of 5 on the dog scale.
This
10 out of 5 on the dog
exactly.
scale.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he's so dog, he's wolf. That's how dog he is.
Who said that? I sent you the quote the other day. I forget who it was, but there was a coach out there. He was like, forget the dog. I'm the wolf.
Absolutely right. Novak falls into that category, for sure.
All right, Coco Gauff is coming up. First on here, John, is the number one ranked American in the world by any measure. She's already a major champion, but hasn't won here yet. What does she need to do to start her quest?
Just keep doing what she's doing. I mean, she's a Grand Slam winner. I think this title in time probably could come her way. If it's not this year, just keep working towards it. You said she's a teenager just for about a handful more days, which is absolutely amazing. The success she has had before 20 years old is amazing. So she's an absolute star, and we're lucky to have her as an American.
Yeah, I've got all the American circle, Steve. Yep. We got Pegula. We've got Dolahai taking on Azarenka. We've got Emma Navarro later tonight, Cirenko. It's Sloane Stephens, Kristea.
Well, we got the BJK Cup captain here.
Yeah, I
got
to get out
USA.
To all of them.
So are you going to watch?
Of course. Okay. Of course. It's been fun. We tried. I would manage to get on Stadium 9 last night for some doubles. You could not. You got to talk to
Desiree
the ushers. Come on.
And Caroline Dolahai were playing out that they won in a tight
you
third set.
You couldn't get your
breaker.
Way past the usher.
No.
I was surprised.
It was like five deep. Yeah. And, you know,
packed.
I'm not Lindsay Davenport. No. So
that's how I felt on the grass field. It's hard to get past.
Well, here are the players about to step out onto the court. Clara Burrell and Coco Gauff. Saw Coco coming in early this morning with her coach, Brad Gilbert, seeming calm and ready to go, Prakash. And this is a place where she feels comfortable as well.
Yeah, she does. I mean, look, anytime Coco gets to play in the U.S., I mean, it's a big deal. It's an event, especially after crossing over from sport into very much even more into the pop culture. After winning that U.S. Open, it's an event when she gets out there.
Wonder what she's got playing in the headphones there.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Clara Burrell.
Now, this is the first time the Frenchwoman has made the Indian Wells second round. It's her best WTA 1000 result. Always curious to see how many fans are in the stands for the first match of the day. When it's Coco Gauff, you think it's going to be packed. You can certainly hear it. As they love the top-ranked American woman. We'll be here on the desk all day long for updates and interviews with your favorite stars. But when we come back, Chanda Rubin, Coco Vandeweghe in the booth for Coco Gauff's first match at this year's BNP Paribas Open. Thanks for watching TC Live.